You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. Armstrong College has been involved in a Jerusalem archaeological dig for about a decade. Dr. Alat Mazar is the one in charge of the project, and we've helped her uncover many items. David's Palace, Solomon's Wall, Nehemiah's Wall, Hezekiah Bulla, and two bullae from the time of Jeremiah, and more. But the bullae and clay seals were used to seal a scroll after it had been tied with a string. Dr. Mazar has had phenomenal success, I think, like no archaeologist in this world, and she's in no way affiliated with us, but she is outstanding in her work. And I want to talk to you about two of those discoveries, David's Palace and the seals, or two bullae from Jeremiah's time. And I want to show you some archaeology that is just filled with hope. I mean hope for the entire world, and yet people don't pay much attention to it like they should. There are times when it is just outstanding and proves the Bible to be true. And you can find that proof abundantly in what I'm talking to you about today. During the last days of the kingdom of Judah, the prophet Jeremiah was warning the residents that Babylon was going to conquer them, and the thing that they should do is not fight against them. God said that they were going to lose, but they could save their lives and their city if they surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Now that's mentioned in Jeremiah 38 verses 1 through 6, and you can see that the king, and especially his princes and his assistants, fought against Jeremiah and had him thrown in a miry dungeon. It was getting very dangerous for Jeremiah. And Judah's princes advised the king not to surrender to Babylon. And two of them had Jeremiah thrown in prison. And I want to discuss those two some today. But Jeremiah was telling them, look, this is the only way you're going to be able to survive. You can't survive any other way. Now, that's a gripping story, and we could think about it, and most people say, well, it's probably not true what they think, but there is tangible proof in archaeology that it is true. And tangible proof, well, that seems to move people a little more than something maybe that might not be so easy to prove. But Jeremiah recorded one of these confrontations, and of all things, mentioned two princes in particular that he had confrontations with, and that was Jehuchal, son of Shelemiah, and Gedaliah, son of Pashur. Those two princes. Now, those are the two where we have found the two bullae of those two princes with their names, and just in an archaeological dig. And I want to show you what the Bible has to say about it, and you can see why that God would have inspired those names to be included in these verses. Verse 1 says, "Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur," there's the first one, the first prince, "and Jehuchal, the son of Shelemiah," it's sometimes shortened to Jukal, but Moffat translates it in the longer version, it is Jehuchal. So these are the two princes where we have found bullies that belong to them. Well, each one had a bullie that we found with their name on it. Each one had their name on that bullie, and that is something that is very stirring if you understand what it means. Notice verse 2, "Thus says the Eternal, he that remains in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goes forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live." Verse 3, Thus says the Eternal, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech you, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakens the hands of the man of war that remain in this city and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeks not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Now these that included the two princes that were and the to the bulle that we found that belonged to them. And they were responsible for putting Jeremiah in prison two different times and pleaded with the king to put him to death. Jeremiah the prophet, one of God's greatest prophets, was they wanted to kill. Now you can see why Judah had some problems at that time, very serious problems. The Babylonians came and demolished Jerusalem and took captives of the Jews, including Zedekiah, who sat on David's throne, and he was the last king to do that. They were about to lose the throne. And then Nebuchadnezzar took the sons of Zedekiah and had them slain right before their father, and then many of the nobles. And then they put Babylon put out the eyes of Zedekiah and took him to Babylon, where he was there for a number of years and then died. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make sure that there was nobody from that dynasty that was going to sit on David's throne. He wanted to destroy that totally and completely. Now, the whole world believes that that is the end of David's throne, but that's not the case at all. Nebuchadnezzar released Jeremiah, who took one of Zedekiah's daughters as queen and her husband, the king, to Ireland to rule over that land and sit on David's throne. Now, that's history this world knows nothing about. It happened some 2,500 years ago, and then later that throne was taken to Scotland and then on to Britain, where it is today, the very throne of David. And this is all tied to Jeremiah's commission. This was his commission. So the good news about that is, if you follow this story on to the end, this wonderful truth on to the end, you will see at the end of the man's rule over man, then Jesus Christ himself would sit on that throne and rule from that throne forever. Now that's how important it is to keep the big overview here and not get lost in, let's say, the two bulle or what the princes were doing or what Babylon was doing or Zedekiah was doing. But what is this all about? It's about the greatest vision in the Bible. And we have to keep the big overview or, well, we can lose hope and become negative about all of it. It's easy to get your mind on the negative parts where and fail to remember what this is all about. The book of Jeremiah is about the commission of Jeremiah. And the that same throne is going to be here when Jesus Christ returns, and he's going to sit on that throne and bring prosperity and joy and happiness to the earth for 1,000 years and then on to the universe with that same rule of David's throne and God the Father's throne. Now that is the wonderful, majestic vision that we're talking about here, and that is the hope in this archaeology that I'm talking to you about today. It's a wonderful, wonderful hope. So these princes were very influential, and what an amazing find that is. Jeremiah, well, he really lived. He really lived, and the Bible really is true. And yet most people won't make the effort to prove it. Here's what we wrote about in a co-worker letter. As Dr. Mazar noted, it's rare for science and the Bible to converge as dramatically and as tangibly as they do with Jehukal and Gedaliah Bulle. In many ways, this offers proof that Jeremiah was there, and because of his message, they really did put him in a dungeon. Of course, this is our writing, our view there. These two princes were the reason he was imprisoned two different times, and then they set out to kill him. It's like as if God is just speaking from the dust right there in Jerusalem. And yet, how much attention does this get from the world? Even the Biblical Archaeology Review wrote that these bulle, quote, found in the course of Elot Mazar City of David excavations are bringing the book of Jeremiah back to life. It's like it's dying, but this is bringing it back to life. Why? Because it proves that what the Bible says is true. Now, those are wonderful discoveries and how precious they are, and yet it's easy to overlook their value, that's for sure. But until David's palace was found, really, there was nothing to even prove anything about David's time for the most part. So it was David's palace is also a stunning discovery and one that in many ways is just overwhelming in its proof. And the same is true of Jeremiah. There was almost nothing that anybody had found about his time until those two bulle. And he even had the very princes that tried so hard to get Jeremiah put to death. And those two bulle are from those two princes, those two biblical characters. That is truly amazing finds in archaeology. Jeremiah is a prophetic book. And he did talk to the Jews about a brutal captivity. But that was only a type of what's going to happen to two nations of Israel and Judah in this end time. Now, you need to write for our booklet on Jeremiah. The only way it's going to have a different outcome is if people repent. But it's God focuses on the two birthright nations and the scepter nation, that those are the three that are going to be punished most of all. And you can read about that in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. We've been mailing that for many years now. But these two bulle are really a very strong warning, but also a tremendous hope for all of us if we understand what it all means. If we will just get this big overview, it truly is filled with hope in spite of the difficult times, in spite of the tragedy along the way. Notice Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Here is Jeremiah's commission, and he was actually used by God to move David's throne away from Jerusalem, and it hasn't been back since, but it's about to go back there very shortly, and I mean in a short amount of time. Notice what it says in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord, the Eternal, came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Notice, nations. Not just Judah, he just warned Judah. But now his book is for the nations. It's talking about the nations, which includes some nations of Israel. And who is Israel? Well, our book on the U.S. and United States and Britain and prophecy will explain that to you. Verse 9, then the Eternal put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Eternal said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And then verse 10, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. To build and to plant, to go to Ireland and build and plant. That's where Jeremiah took the throne after he left Jerusalem. Then after that, on to Scotland and Britain. Mr. Armstrong had this to say in the United States and Britain in Prophecy. Quote, notice Jeremiah was set over nations. See, more than one kingdom. And he had to root everything out and pluck it out of Jerusalem. But then he had to go and plant it, build and plant. After he had uprooted that throne. And Nebuchadnezzar unwittingly helped him do that. This goes on to say, it is well known that Jeremiah was used in warning Judah of the impending captivity and the pulling down and overthrowing of the throne of David and the kingdom of Judah. But note it, see in your own Bible, Jeremiah was divinely commissioned to pull down and to overthrow that very throne of David in Judah. But notice the second half of the commission, to build and to plant. Why? Naturally, that which he was used in rooting out of Judah, the throne of David, which God swore he would preserve forever. See, he was not just set over one nation, he was set over nations, and he was taking David's throne to other nations, Ireland, Scotland, and then England. And that's where it is today. And there is a descendant of David sitting on that throne, the Queen of England. And how many people even understand that? But notice, here's where we sometimes get sidetracked, I think. But this is significant, nevertheless. Verse 13, and the word of the Eternal came unto me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, well, I see a seething pot. See, here's the end time Babylon. There's a seething pot that's about to spill over and boil some nations if they don't repent. I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. This is the king of the north, a European power. Then the Eternal said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Eternal, and they shall come, and they shall set everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against all the walls thereof round about and against all the cities of Judah. Now, he just asked Jeremiah, well, what do you see? And he asked that a couple times. Verses 11 and 12 read this way, moreover, the word of the Eternal came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, well, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said I, the Eternal unto me, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I'll just read to you. It's the rod of an almond tree, and it precedes the boiling pot. The Companion Bible describes it as a watcher or an early waker because it is the first of the trees to wake from its winter sleep, and it is thus what the cock is to the birds. And it is also described as a vigilant watchman. There must be a vigilant watchman to warn Israel, three nations in particular, in this end time about what happened anciently, and it is coming at us again if we don't wake up. There is so many lessons to learn from these prophecies out of the Bible, and you can prove every single one of them to be true. You can prove it to yourself. You don't have to doubt. But notice verse 16. It reads, and this is talking about God's own people, and I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me. You can't forsake God if you never knew him. These are people of God who knew him and have forsaken him in this end time. They too have been deceived. 95% of God's own people have been deceived. God is concerned about that, and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. See, only God's people could fit that, and this is in the very last era of God's church. It has to be the last era because they turned away and became lukewarm. And that's a lot of bad news. God's people have to be warned about this catastrophe. So do three nations of Israel have to be warned. But remember this, is not just bad news. It's not just bad news. Jeremiah's commission is the theme of this book, the whole book of Jeremiah. And it's about David's throne. And we're leading right up to, and we're in the last era now, and about to pass this throne on to Jesus Christ when he returns very shortly. Now that's what it's all about. We have to keep the big overview or we'll lose our hope. If you want to really build hope, this is the way to do it. Learn wonderful truths. Now there was, when they had some of the discoveries, Dr. Mazar and the Mayor Barakat of Jerusalem had a kind of a celebration because of that. And the mayor said, well, this site shows that the Bible is real, Mr. Barakat stated. It shows that 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, Jerusalem was the center of the world. And we love to share that with the world. Well, it was the center of the world in many ways, but it's about to become the center of the world and the center of the universe. It's building toward that right now. That's what all this is about. We don't want to get bogged down in the bad news and fail to see the good news and the hope and the joy that's about to come to this earth and even the universe forever. That is God's master plan, and you can easily prove that. Well, let me just read you a little quick quote from Dr. Mazar. She said, talked about so many people in the world appreciate historical sources from the Bible, including the New Testament. And if it's something tangible, she said, it's easy for people to believe. But they have no idea that sometimes lots of it can really be seen and be touched. That's tangible. I mean, you can see these bullies, you can see David's throne, and you can touch all of those wonderful discoveries. You can touch them. And that, see, again, God is going to hold us accountable for all his knowledge. He says he is. But when they had this celebration, there was almost no media members there at that time. And that is tragic. It's tragic because it's as if, well, most of the media, and I suppose that would be true here as well in other nations, but most of the media just isn't concerned about God or the Bible. That's not a big deal to them. And yet we're facing human annihilation. And they're not interested in going, even looking into what God has to see how it's going to be solved and how they could solve it now ahead of all the disasters that are coming. We could solve it now. I mean, we're about to see this earth change dramatically, and remember, we're going to be held accountable for these things. Well, God goes on in Jeremiah 30 and talks about the terrible times that are coming, and then he talks about, I'll just use the last part of verse 9, that they shall serve the eternal. That's where David's throne ends, with the eternal. And David, their king, that's where it started. David's throne started, and David's going to be resurrected. How about that? God is going to resurrect the dead. He's going to give everybody an opportunity to know him. You can see that in Luke 1, I'll just quickly read this to you. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Father, you see. And the eternal God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's the throne of David. That was in the palace of David that we have helped uncover in Jerusalem. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. It's just endless. It's going on forever and ever and ever. It's a family throne. The family is the gospel of God. Then in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. No end to his government and peace. Well, how about that? That's what David's throne is all about. This is talking about David's throne. There's no end of that throne, no end of that government and that peace and that joy and that happiness, and to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this. See, those called out now to to help God are going to be able, before Jesus Christ returns, are going to be able to sit on that throne with Jesus Christ as his bride and share that throne with him for all eternity. I mean, that's the greatest possible opportunity any human beings will ever have, and that is just sheer joy. I mean, we need to understand that. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Critics dismiss much of the Bible as tall tales and outright lies. Archaeology, however, tells a different story. Proof of the biblical narrative sometimes lies just a few feet beneath the surface. Learn the inspiring significance of biblical archaeology to your eternal life. The organization that produces the Key of David program has exhibited two archaeological clay seals in Edmond, Oklahoma. The seals bore the insignia of two evil Judean princes who tried to execute the prophet Jeremiah. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Jeremiah and the Greatest Vision in the Bible, to learn how these tiny seals relate to your life. These precious artifacts are proof that Jeremiah lived and proof that the Bible is true. God gave Jeremiah a special commission to uproot the throne of King David and to transplant it in Ireland. Discover the remarkable story of how Jeremiah succeeded, even though Bible scholars believe he failed. Grasp the marvelous eternal vision emanating from King David's throne. You need this rare truth found in Jeremiah and the Greatest Vision in the Bible. You will also receive a copy of our free reprint article, Archaeology Thunders, Behold Your God. The incredible story of the prophet Jeremiah is just one of many biblical accounts verified by the archaeological record. Repeatedly, biblical archaeologists have offered irrefutable proof of the existence of a creator. Each artifact echoes that thunderous message, Behold Your God. Your order will include a special copy of the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine. Immerse yourself in this October-November 2013 archaeology issue. Uncover the rich history buried just below the dirt and ruins in Jerusalem and beyond. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.